Christmas. Amen. Ready to celebrate the coming of our Lord, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's message is titled, The Child of God. The last 3 weeks, we have looked at the child. This child is King. This child is Savior last week. And this week is this child is God. It's amazing. It's a hard thing for us to imagine why God would do what he has done for us, other than he is expressing to us the love that he has for all of us in doing this. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 to start with. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 22. It says, Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather today, this place that you've given us to meet in. And Lord, the ability to come before the throne of God through the veil, through Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us this access and this privilege. And Lord, it is this celebration, this season, as we come together and celebrate this gift that you have given to mankind. This child that was born so long ago that would become the Redeemer and the Savior of all mankind. We thank you for the privilege of giving us the opportunity to believe, to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come together today in that name, let us not only celebrate but worship you from our hearts. Let us live for you in the places that we go, the things that we do. Let our thoughts be on the things that you would have us to think on. Let us bring honor and glory to you from this moment forward. In all that we do, in all the places that we go, let us represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place with your presence today and that you'd work among us. That your word would go forth and bring honor and glory to you in this place. And that you would work in our hearts to be all that we need to be for you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today, as we look out into the world and we look at all the things happening and all the things going on, the world has made statements that Christianity is just another religion, another world religion. It's not any different than the Hindu and the Buddhism and Islam and Mormonism and paganism and New Age and all the other religions out there are just man's attempt to console himself, to comfort himself and make him feel like he's okay. But it's not that way. Every religion will deny that Jesus is God, except biblical Christianity. That's an important thing to remember, that Jesus Christ is God. And our message today will point that out, that this child is God. He's not just King of Kings. He's not just our Savior. He is all of that, but he is also God. And that word Emmanuel proclaims that to us. The word made flesh, and God himself coming to man, becoming a man. And all of this had a purpose. Unlike a lot of other religions, the goal of Christianity isn't to become God. It's to have a relationship with him. So God had to become man. not so that we could become God, but so that we in all of our sin and our imperfections could have a relationship with God. And in order that God might have a relationship with us, His Son stepped down from His throne in heaven and became a man. We're going to look at three relationships today. How God desires to have that relationship with us. Where He desires that relationship with us. What it looks like. As we do so, remember that God did this just for you. He did that just for me. He did it for all mankind, but for us as individuals, so that we could know Him, so that we could have that relationship with Him. And this season, when we remember this incarnation, this coming, this gift of God, we need to remember it wasn't just for mankind. It was for us. It was for me. It was for you. He did that for me so that I could have a relationship with Him, so that you could have a relationship with Him. Because God desires a human relationship. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. That God is a spirit. In John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we can go all kinds of directions here, but the focus is that God is a spirit, and God has given us His Holy Spirit as believers so that we can do and be what we need to be, so that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth as He is required. How do we do that? How can mankind then have a relationship with God? How can we, sinful human mankind, have a relationship with the holy, righteous, sinless God? There's only one answer. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to show us how. He showed us what to do. He lived an example for us. This child born in that manger so many years ago came with this ability to show us how to live for God. So what we find then is that God became human. God became a man. How? Through childbirth. Of all ways to come, of all the ways that He had opportunities, He could have chose to come, it was through childbirth. Now, I believe that this goes right along with Him being fully human, fully man, because He experienced everything that we experience, including childbirth. Now, I don't remember mine. It's probably a good thing. You know, but the point is, we all have gone through that. Someday, I think we'll have a clear understanding of what we have really gone through in our life. But He became human through childbirth. A similar change in our outlook would be that, well, God would do whatever He wants to do. Why a child? Why didn't He just come as Savior? Well, the thing is, this is God's plan, not man's plan. Man would mess it up terribly. It was a rather humiliating way to come to enter humanity, for God Almighty to become an infant. That concept is hard to understand. Grasp that for a second. Almighty God that created everything in 6 days chose to become a little piece of that creation, yet attaining godhood. Remaining in God. Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? Fully God, but yet an infant. That helps us to understand why the wise men came from afar. They knew this child that was born King of the Jews was something special. we look back, and I think so many times it all gets clouded and grayed over a little bit. But you know what? This season, it should jump out and become bright to us. Jesus Christ should flash bright lights in front of us, help us to realize how powerful He is, who He really is, and what He has really done for us. He subjected Himself to drooling and spitting up and dirty diapers. Amazing, huh? We don't think about it that way, but He did. He subjected Himself to having earthly parents. He grew up as a child. Why? Because He became everything that we, every place that we can sin in, He did not. He was tempted in all points as we are, even as a child, yet without sin. Why? Because He's God, but He's also the perfect man, and He's God's gift to mankind. One of the best ways to understand this is given to us in the Gospel of John. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh. This is one of my favorite passages talking about the incarnation of Christ, talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. For that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The one who made all things became flesh. And John says, and we beheld His glory. We saw Him. We talked to Him. We walked with Him. We witnessed of Him. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. What a proclamation here of the deity of Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh. So why would God desire this human relationship? Why would God want to do that for us? Well, there's a story told of an old farmer who asked this same question. He thought the idea of God coming to earth as a man was a ridiculous thing. Some of you may have run across people who think the same way. One evening, though, during a terrible storm, he kept hearing a loud thump on the living room window. And the snow was bad. He couldn't see out. And later, when the snow let up a little, he went out to see what had been making that noise. It turned out to be a flock of wild geese that had been stranded there in the storm. They kept flapping around blindly, hitting the house. So he went to open up his barn, because he figured if he could get them into the barn, they could survive. So he went and opened up the barn for them. But just the sight of him scared them away, and they wouldn't go near. He tried everything he could do, everything he could think of, but they wouldn't go near the barn. He couldn't get them there. Finally, he thought, if I would just become a goose, if I could just be a goose, I could tell them. I could save them from this problem. And it was at that moment that he realized that Jesus had come into the world for that reason. why Jesus had become a man. And it wasn't such a ridiculous thing after all. God desired a human relationship with us so that we could come out of the storm, that we could come out of a sinful lifestyle so that we could be saved. And he provided that for us. God became a man. God had to endure many things and anything that we could ever possibly have to endure. God had to go through that for us. Physical things, emotional struggles, hunger, poverty, pain. He was betrayed by his friends. He was rejected by his own family. He was mocked and ridiculed and made fun of. All of the things that we don't like, the things that we don't like to happen to us, that we don't want to go through, he went through. Hebrews 4:11 or 4:15 reminds us that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He understands. He knows what we're going through. He knows what you are going through. He knows what you have been through. And he gives us the ability to trust him, to turn to him. So God became man in order to have a human relationship with us so that we could understand how to live as a human. And God became man in order to save us from our sin. The Bible proclaims that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God provided a way to reconcile our separation, to again restore us to himself so that man could have that relationship. But God also desires a holy relationship with man. Human relationship, but also a holy relationship. Why? Because God is holy. The Bible declares that in 1 Peter 1:16. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because it is written means it has been written previously. You'll find it in the Old Testament. So the Bible is teaching us, old and new, to be holy. How then can we do that? How can we be holy? What does it mean to be holy? It's defined by Charles Ryrie in his book, In Basic Theology, as this. He says, usually defined negatively and in relation to a relative, not absolute standard, holiness in the Bible means separation from all that is common or unclean. In respect to God, holiness means not only that he is separated from all that is unclean and evil, but also that he is positively pure and thus distinct from all others. Holiness is the absence of evil and the presence of positive right. In God, his holiness is a purity of being and nature as well as of will and act. There's a lot in that little paragraph. But God's holiness surpasses our understanding. So how then can we be holy? He says, be holy as for I am holy. How can we be holy? Well, we have to look into that because we are called to be holy. We are called to be holy. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We have the whole passage there now, and we're instructed in the first words there to gird up the loins of your mind. Put a watch on your thoughts. Put a watch on your mind. Be sober. In other words, be attentive and be watching. Hope to the end with the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we know Him, as Jesus is revealed to us, we accept His holiness. And because of that, Jesus clothes us in His holiness. He clothes us there with His holiness. It's not our holiness then, is it? It's His. It's His holiness. Before Jesus died on the cross, man's only access to God was through the veil. Only by the high priest, and that once a year. One man represented the nation of Israel to come before God. And he had to be right, he had to be pure, he had to be sanctified, and he had one opportunity to go in there. And God had the authority, if he was not such, that he didn't come out of there. This is the representation, this high priest is a representation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our high priest. That is why this individual had to represent Christ literally behind the veil. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." How then did we go from not being able to go to the presence of God to having access to the presence of God? How is it that we can now go through the veil? Again, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is that veil. And if you remember, when he was crucified, that veil was rent. That veil was opened. His body, a sacrifice, was made so that all who believed would have access through that veil to the throne of God. Do you realize what he's done for us? Isn't that amazing? How then can we come before God? There's only one way, and that is through the holiness of Jesus Christ. Being in Jesus Christ, we then are holy. His holiness covers us, surrounds us, fills us. That's why we are to live as Christ. Again, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne." We don't have to fear that when we come to the throne of God through Jesus Christ, there is no fear. Why? Because He's given us access as His children to come before Him as we are, because we're clothed in His holiness. Wow. When we look at holiness, it can be tested by a simple question that's been around for several years. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? You know, we need to examine that. We need to look at that a lot. Every situation that we're involved in, what would Jesus do? When we go to prayer, how would Jesus have me to pray? In everything that I do. I'm going to buy a new car, so what kind of car should I get? Do you think Jesus cares? Do you think God is concerned with you? If He knows the hairs of our head, do you think He's also concerned with everything else? If He gave Himself to die on the cross, to save us, and to clothe us in His righteousness, and to prepare a place for us, do you think He cares about us? So much.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave the greatest gift man would ever receive. And then we as individuals have the opportunity and the privilege to accept that gift or to reject that gift. What would Jesus do in this situation in our life? Where does he want me to go? What does he want me to do? How does he want me to speak? What would Jesus do? He is our example. He became man to be that example for us. He became man so that he might take our sin debt upon him and pay our sin debt and give us redemption and freedom. He came that he might show us how to walk in the Spirit. How to pray to the Father. How to be patient for his coming. How to look forward to the kingdom that he is going to set up. How to look forward to our eternity with him. So God desires a human relationship and he desires a holy relationship. But God also desires a holistic relationship. Completely, totally given to him. Holy. A full relationship with God. When we think about God didn't just come to take care of one part of man's problem. He came to take care of all of it. Everything that we need is provided for us through Christ. When we look at this, if God had only sent us a man, he could have only sympathized with us and not saved us. There were prophets, there were judges, there were godly people, but they weren't good enough. They weren't what God required. Just as the farmer that I spoke of becoming only a goose, if he had only become a goose, he'd have acted like the rest of the geese and floundered around. He had to also be human and a goose to know what to do with them. And that's exactly what God did with us. He was also God, and he became man, so that he would know exactly what we needed and be able to show us where to go, how to walk, how to live. If God had only come as God, then man could only be judged by the law and condemned. Because God's law is holy and just. And the only way we can survive under the law of God is through Christ. That's the only way. By the grace of God. Having his righteousness. And God accepting his righteousness in us. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So God didn't just come as God. And God didn't just come as man. But God sent us his Son. Born of a virgin. 100% man. He came as Emmanuel. 100% God. It's a very difficult concept for us. And yet, as Christians, I think we can see glimpses and grasps of this truth in us. How could God possibly live in me? If you've lived as a Christian for very long, you get a little glimpse of that every time the Holy Spirit starts working on you. And you start realizing, you know, he's here. He's with me. All I've got to do is learn to listen to him. God sent us his Son. In fact, in Galatians 4, 4, and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come," in a special time, special moment, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Pretty clear right there in those verses. When the fullness of time was come, the right moment in time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, virgin born, made under the law, because the law, the Bible says, is holy and righteous, and the law condemns. To redeem them, here's the salvation part, to redeem them that are under the law. There's none righteous. No, not one. But now we are righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. How is that? Because God sent forth His Son. And the last part of that says that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we become the children of God. Jesus Christ came as the Son of God to provide for us the opportunity to become the children of God. Amazing. This is the only way He could have a relationship with us without tainting His holiness. It's for us to come through Christ, to come through perfection, to be in Christ Jesus, to be accepted by God the Father. So Jesus lives today, making intercession for all who believe, still today. Amen. He's interceding for us. He's the go-between between mankind and God the Father. He is the holiness that we must have to come before God. He is the righteousness that we must have to come before the throne of God. He is the salvation that we need to have our sins washed and gone. So Jesus makes intercession for all who receive Him. I want to read a passage in Romans to you. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I think we could stop right there and just pause for a second and look at our world today and say, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is God. He's in control. And He always has been. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you realize what Jesus has done for you, for mankind, for us? This passage just proclaims so much to us. The love of God, the grace of God, and that Jesus isn't done. When he died on the cross and he said it is finished, he did not mean that's all I'm going to do for you. That means this little process is done. That's not going to happen again. No one will shed their blood again for mankind. It is finished. It's complete, in other words. But he was not done at that time, and he's still not done. Aren't you glad he's still working on us? Still patient with us? Still interceding for us? Still leading us? Jesus desires a holistic relationship with us. Everything we are. And he has provided all the tools, all the things that are needed, all the resources for us to be able to do that. This child that we celebrate coming at Christmas time, this child is king. King of kings and Lord of lords. This child is Savior. His name is Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the Savior. He alone saves. Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, none of the rest of them can save you. Only Jesus Christ. And the difference is because he is God. And he is God alone. And this child is God. This child that we celebrate. I can only imagine Mary looking into the eyes of that little infant, holding God in her hands. Knowing who he is. She and Joseph knew who Jesus is. Wow. What a gift to mankind. What a blessing. God desires a complete relationship with you. And has provided everything for you. Again in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To be born of God through Jesus Christ. God has provided that gift for all of us. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege that you have given to us of coming before the throne of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for this gift that you have provided for mankind. This gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, you did not have to do that. But it was your choice and your will to provide for us the expression of your love is great and mighty and goes beyond our understanding. But Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have to do. Lord, let us keep our eyes focused in the right place, focused on you, during this season, let us not become overwhelmed in the hustle and bustle of the celebration. But let us rely on you. Let us trust in you. Let us realize that you indeed are God's precious gift to man. That each one of us need to make sure that we have received. That we have allowed to operate in our life. Our manual of living. To bring glory and honor to you. To be pleasing in your sight. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So that we also can behold his glory. And Father, I pray for each person here today, each person listening. Lord, that you would work in their hearts and in their lives. And help each one, Lord, that they might come before you today, right now. Trusting you with their whole heart. Acknowledging the fact that they need a Savior. And you have provided that need. You have taken care of that. That we need a Redeemer, and you have taken care of that. That we need a relationship with you, and you have taken care of that. Let each person come before you and thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. What you are doing. And may you be exalted here and in our hearts. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.